cool band, right?
You are 70,000th in the queue.
Yeah, let's not listen to that. Let's sort you out with some pre-sale tickets.
End of the queues this way.
Oh, and a special card member entrance. More your vibe, I reckon.
Amex card member.
Too right they are. Gigs, festivals, theatre. When you're with Amex, they're on another level. That's the powerful backing of American Express.
Example products. Preferred rewards gold credit card. Representative 88.8% APR variable. Annual fee applies after the first year. Subject to status. 18 plus. T's and C's apply.
This episode is sponsored by It Ends With Us.
Based on the global best-selling phenomenon by Colleen Hoover, this captivating, faithful adaptation of the book is the movie of the summer.
Blake Lively stars as Lily Bloom, a woman embarking on a new life in Boston after overcoming a traumatic childhood. A chance meeting with the charming neurosurgeon Ryle sparks an intense connection, but as they fall in love, Lily begins to see sides of Ryle that remind her of her parents' problematic relationship.
When Lily's first love, Atlas, re-enters her life and her relationship with Ryle is upended, Lily realizes she must rely on her own strength to make an impossible choice for her future.
A Colleen Hoover book is always a good book, and I cannot wait to see this story brought to the screen. It Ends With Us is only in cinemas from August 9th.
This August, the best-selling phenomenon, It Ends With Us.
If you had a daughter,
what would you say to her?
That captivated the world.
We all have an idea of what love can be.
Is now a movie that everyone's talking about and can't be missed.
15 seconds, that's all it takes to change everything.
Starring Blake Lively, It Ends With Us. Only in cinemas August 9th.
Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie. Guess who I'm with? He's handsome. He's cute. He's young. He's thin. He's talented. He's got nice hair. It's Ben. Ben Mandelker. Hi, Ben.
Hi. Hi, how are you? How's
good.
It going?
What's been going on with you, babes?
You know, just finishing a lovely week here on Crappens. Really fun times. Getting ready for the Olympics. It's good times. What about
it's
you?
Right now, they're
you?
Starting right now while we're on
they're
this
actively
podcast.
Happening.
You're right. 10 minutes. We're recording right when they start. We should be watching it, but guess what? Merca, sorry. We're putting you on hold. Pori, we're putting you on hold as well. World, we're putting you all on hold for Real Housewives of Orange County. But today is a big day. We were on Melissa, Ben was on Melissa Gorga's On Display podcast, found everywhere you listen to podcasts. And we were both on the Ryan Bailey, So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey podcast from Betches Media. So go check those both out. Both super fun reviews. And
also the LA Times.
It was in the LA Times.
I was fortunate enough to talk about Love Island USA in the LA Times. So go check out that article. And I mean, you guys have heard me say everything about Love Island USA, but if you want to hear just a little bit more, check that out.
It's there. He's in it. It's a big article in the LA Times. That's crazy. Congrats, Ben.
Thank you.
That's really cool. It's crazy. Okay. So here we are. Where are we? Real Housewives of Orange County.
Real Housewives, another hilarious episode. Doing really well this season so far. What'd you think?
Oh, fun time. So we start where we left off, which is Gina being an asshole. Gina poor shaming somebody. And then storming out of a coffee shop, yelling and screaming for being interrupted, even though she never stopped talking one time in her terrible train conductor hat. So that was super fun. Took me a while to kind of wind down. But I'll tell you, Gina has this talent of just like making it okay later. And then I'm like, oh, poor Gina, literally. But like she went on to Watch What Happens and she's just so nice. Like she comes off as just so nice. She's like, whatever, you know, I didn't mean it. And I really care about everyone. I really care for her so much. Like I hope it's okay. And I'm like, oh, Gina's nice. And then I start reading my notes from last week and I'm like, no, fuck Gina still. Really, yeah. This show is pretty good at making me mad at new people all the time because this week it's really Emily. This week, fuck off, Emily. Really? My God. She's so mean. Like, I think she thinks she's being funny, but it's just like, When you're a rich person making fun of a person who's getting everything repossessed and they're getting kicked out, I mean, I know we do it, but that's not our friend group. You know what I mean? And we don't do it in real life. We do it to TV characters. And I know that it's hypocritical that I'm explaining it for myself, but not for somebody else. But it really is just gross watching Emily make poor jokes about somebody. It's gross. And it just makes me want her to lose all of her money. And I just know that she won't because she's just so fucking responsible. And then that makes me so mad. I'm mad at her for being responsible. It's just all a big wad of unfairness and weird feelings I've got over here.
Wow. Yeah, that's a big, I mean, that's definitely a lot of emotions to have to grapple with. I'm with you in terms of Gina. Like, she does con you. Like, by the end of the episode, I was like, oh, you know, Gina was nice. She was just, you know, hurt people. Because she does that thing where her voice shakes and she goes, no, I feel bad. I really do. I didn't mean to say that to you. And you're like, oh, that's nice of Gina. But that's like, no, you were a dick. I'm sorry, you were a dick. And then even after you were nice in that moment, you then still say things that are dickish. So I think that, like, Gina, you know what? I'm not gonna let off. I'm gonna say she's a dick through and through.
But I switched to Emily, right?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, that wasn't you. I just know I went to five things, but you know how I say people's names.
Emily,
I say things incorrectly all the time. So I just wanted to make sure it's not like a Kenny versus Kendall thing on Love Island where I'm like, oh, I go on a rant for 10 minutes about the wrong person, you know?
No, you specifically were. I don't really remember Emily doing anything above and beyond her normal Emily kind of shady comments. But, you know, I'm sure as we go through the notes, the scene.
Well, and also, like, I don't need more boudoir scenes of Emily. Like, enough. How many do you get to do? And also, if you're going to do them, then just fucking do them, Emily. Don't come here and then cry about how insecure you are, because it's bullshit and I'm sick of hearing it. You are not insecure. This is like your third boudoir shot of the series. No one's done three boudoir shots and a strip show for your father-in-law. So please get off the whole, like, I'm so insecure. No, you're not. You're naked all the time on here. And good for you. You shouldn't be insecure, by the way. You're gorgeous and you look great in all your boudoir shots. But enough with the faux, like, wah, wah, okay? Just take your boudoir shots, okay? We know you don't have a plot. Take your damn boudoir shots and be fine with it. You know, I'm fine with the girl goes to Claire's as a storyline.
Yeah. So the episode, we're back in this coffee shop, and many people pointed out that Gina stormed out without even having a bite of her enormous croissant, which is really a crime against croissants and pastries, especially today, day one of the Paris Olympics. How do you just leave a croissant on the table like that? That's just not what you do. Mm-hmm. So storms off and she's like, I don't have time for this bullshit. Like, fuck this girl. I don't have time for this. You literally have all the time in the world for it, Gina. You're doing nothing with your time, selling like one, you know, split level home every 3 weeks. Like, you can hang out and eat your croissant.
And then it just cuts to Jen stuck in the coffee shop after just being screamed at in public, staring at the croissant like, thank you, croissant. Thank you for being there for me. You're so sweet, croissant. I really appreciate everything you've been... Derek, ma'am, we're taking this croissant. Nope. It's my only friend. That was Mike. Well, thank you. Thank you for being here while you were here, croissant. Thank you so much.
She does just sit there. She just sits there with the croissant. I think she thinks that Gina's going to come back or something like that. But instead, Gina gets into her car and drives off and calls up Emily. And Emily's like, hello? It's like, oh my God, Emily, I just met up with Jen and I'm in utter shock of how this woman just is choosing to handle this situation. Utter shock. Like, what? How is she handling the situation? She could barely say three words to explain herself.
And then Jen calls Shannon, and Shannon's like, oh, well, you look pretty, don't you? Good for you. Thank God you're not walking on a beach right now. Otherwise, John Jansen might invite you to the Quiet Woman. And she's like, oh, I thought I was calling a croissant. I just made really good friends with the croissant. Just totally disrespected me in a coffee shop, but well, you'll do. So anyway, I just need to bend your ear for a second. So I met with Gina and she was just so mean to me. I mean, she said I get my hair done and I get my tracks tightened and I need to pay my fucking rent. Shannon's like, oh, I'm sorry, but I've been there. David Bedore. I was like, can we not say David Bedore or John? Let the woman cry, Shannon.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I mean, I understand her frustration because she went out on a limb. By the way, my ear sort of hurts after you bending it a little bit.
And then we have a flashback of Gina once again telling Chan, I vouched for her.
You know what? And it cost me $50,000.
It's like, I don't think it cost you $50,000. Like, it was probably...
That's bullshit.
Yeah, that's not why you lost that deal. It does not to do with a severed relationship due to Jen.
If somebody gets a loan for a car, And the car dealer is like, okay, we approved you for this loan. And then they drive off with the car and crash it. The dealer who sold him that car is not losing car deals because they've lost reputation based on what the customer did after the sale. It's just silly. It doesn't make any sense. Gina's so full of shit, Gina. If people aren't calling you back, you need to look within yourself, okay? It's not because someone's husband stopped paying their rent. I'm sure that happens in Orange County, you know?
Yeah. So Jen's like, you know, I don't even have a judgment yet. Thank you so much. And divorce is still not final. I don't even have temporary support. So I just feel bad, Shannon. But at the end of the day, as a woman who's lived in a casita, I thought she would understand.
So cut back to Gina. She's like, I mean, she says I should sympathize out of all people. Yeah, because like I'm in a situation where I'm not waiting on a check from my ex. Excuse you. You were in a situation where you moved to a casita because you had to. The minute you got cut off, you did something, which is what she did. The minute she got cut off, she did something. I just don't like this. It bugs me. And also, Gina had the paycheck from the show. It's not like Gina was out there working at a Target the second that her husband left her. She was doing this show to get her paycheck. Oh, the hypocrisy.
Yeah.
The hypocrisy.
Yeah, I just find that Gina's
new hypocrisy.
Gina's just like, I agree, very hypocritical and full of it. And just like so, she's just really made it all about her. She's made Jen's situation all about her. I mean, is Jen irresponsible? Totally, yeah. I mean, it's like not great to be like, oh yeah, I've never had a credit card. I never really looked at the bills, yada, yada, yada. That's not responsible. But like Gina is making herself the victim in this situation when Jen is really the one who is the victim of both this situation of being evicted and the victim of maybe her own sheltered upbringing. Who knows what it is, but like, it's not Gina. Gina's is not high on the list of victims in this situation.
Mm-hmm. So then she's like, I lived in a casita. Like, we know, Gina. Okay. So we see a tour of her casita where she's like, this is my bed and that's my couch. I was like, well, welcome to the fucking world. Okay. I believe at that time I was also living in a bed where you could see my couch. Look, my bed's right behind me currently. So everybody take a good look and cry for me. Cry for me, Argentina. So Gina's like, you know, you have a lifestyle and you have a marriage. And when that's over, it comes with sacrifice. And she's not willing to downsize her home when she clearly can't afford it. She didn't know she couldn't afford it at the time. She thought her husband was going to pay. Give her a second, you know?
This is coming from the woman who later on says that the issues between her and Travis is that she's making money, but he's not making enough money, and she doesn't want to spend the money. She wants to spend the money on her kids, but she can cover three, but not six, and then she feels bad because of that, and it creates resentment, when they themselves could just move to a cheaper area code. So, like, she...
I mean, like, aren't they already living six kids in two bedrooms or something over there?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that she's very much like, well, whatever. You know, to make it work, you do what it is to make it work. And now she, and like, in her other storyline, she's like, well, I don't, my money doesn't like, it doesn't cover enough to be happy with all six kids. So,
well, I mean, look, I get that could hurt the other kids' feelings and stuff, but I'm not here to pay your dad's bills either. What the fuck does Travis do? I mean, I'm totally Team Gina on that one. I'm like, get the hell out of here.
No, I am. I'm just saying her logic does not fully, it doesn't fully go through, right? Like, it's like, if you're saying that you don't have enough extra money after you've done all your expenses or whatever to spend to do what you want to do, to dote on your all six children. It's like, so as a result, Travis is moving out. Well, we know it's more than that because there's this ex, but she tells the girls this is her reason. But at the same time, she's going to hammer Jen for not making the sacrifices she needs for her family when Gina's like literally not like... According to what she says, she's making Travis have to leave rather than her say, oh, maybe we should go to a place, a neighborhood that's not as expensive as this one. I'm just saying she's a hypocrite. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying she's a hypocrite.
Yeah, she's a hypocrite, but I can't jump the line for that storyline because I feel like Travis is just a sitter. I feel like Travis just wants to fucking sit there and he's fine with her doing everything and making the money. And meanwhile, he's trying to get money, allegedly, off the ex and child support and this and that. And that's a big fucking mess. So I say, Gina, don't pay his bills and take your damn kids to Disneyland. That's what I say. But as far as this, also stop being mean to Jen because it's none of your fucking business. I don't know. I'm so conflicted. I'm all over the place on this storyline, Ben. I'm all over.
Well, I think we totally agree about the Jen stuff. It's just, the Gina stuff is harder to
It's hard to calibrate because
it's hard because we don't have all the information, right? We're just seeing what we see online and like trying to read.
And she gives us different stories, even within the episode. Like in one part of the episode, she says the issue is that there's not enough money for all the kids. It's building up resentments, and then later on, she says, "Oh, it's actually because the ex-wife is too much in their lives." So, you know, especially on that front, I definitely sympathize. But I'm just saying, when she talks about sacrifice, I'm not gonna let her off easy.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're gonna sacrifice something, put the train conductor hat in the fire. Start there.
I know. Thank you.
Know what I mean? So then she's going off to Emily still on the phone. And she's like, you know what? She has a lifestyle and she's got a marriage. And like when that's over, it comes with a secret of things. And like she isn't even willing to downsize her home, which clearly she can't afford it yet. And Emily's like, you gotta move away from ding dongs. And she's like, but there's so many ding dongs here.
There are a lot of ding-dongs. By the way, what's the whole thing that Jen didn't realize she couldn't afford it? She was like, she thought that she was able to afford it. That's what Gina does not get. And that's what's so frustrating. And guess what? She moved out. So why is Gina even so mad? Gina, like, she's like, you know what? She should have left that house. Like, guess what? She's not living in that house anymore. What else do you want?
Also, I believe her dad, according to our favorite housewife, Sashama Dia, Jen's dad paid off the rent that was owed, the back rent or whatever. So she's like, yeah, I'm no longer here to try and educate Jen about how not to be an idiot. Oh, okay. So then back to Jen on the phone with Shannon. She's like, I mean, it's not my doing. Like, I mean, the only money that I have is the money that Will gives me. You know, now he Will won't. You know what I mean? Now Will won't. Wow. Okay, never really thought of it like that.
Have wordplay.
Wordplay in English. Wow.
Okay, well, I'm going to talk to Gina and communicate how you want to make things okay. And Jen's like, no, I'm happy to communicate. Thank you so much. I've been having a great conversation with this croissant just now. So communication is really a strong suit for me. And she just needs to stay long enough to have the conversation.
And she's like, and then Gina's like, well, I'll see you at the bunch on Saturday. I'm sure we'll see Jen there in full glam. And I'm like, yeah. In full glam with hair extensions, Malibu broke Barbie. Gross. It's gross. Yeah, I just don't like that. It's like mocking someone while they're down. It's just gross. You know, you can say you don't like the situation she put you in without being like that. I don't like it.
Well, also, it's Orange County. What goes around does come around. And no matter how responsible Emily is, I mean, this is the show where I feel like we've seen the most evictions and hard times on the cast members. Like, Orange County gets hit hard. When the hard times come around for Orange County, they come hard.
Yeah. Well, here's to hoping. So Tamara's house, Tamara's getting ready for flag football. Tamara, who's kind of a non-entity so far this season, which is pretty interesting. Yeah. And which I'm sure she'll change very soon. Just do something evil for no reason because she's not getting any airtime. But she's like,
okay, so it looks like I'm ready to play football, everybody. Oh, I can't even imagine what stupid costume Shen's going to wear. And then she's going to be like, oh, look at me falling down because it's football. I'm so wacky. I'm
like, yeah. And even you imitating her is like the best look you've had in this entire episode. So keep it up.
Keep trying.
On cue, we go over to Shannon, who is, in fact, trying to make her own special jersey. She's trying to iron on her name and some letters and everything. And she's like, oh, well, this is a little crooked. Okay, well, I'm scared now that we have a permanent Teflon coating. I may have ironed some toxins into this jersey. This may be the end of me. You know what? If I die, I die doing what I wanted to do always. Playing flag football for television.
So she is trying to iron words onto her shirt and failing miserably because it's Shannon being wacky with an iron. Yeah,
look at me trying to I'm just kidding. That would only be hurtful if my hand was made out of felt letters that spelled out John Jansen stole my restaurant.
And then it turns out she doesn't even have her iron on, which is why she's having a hard time ironing things on.
Well, I would have had the ironing on, but unfortunately, John Jansen and Alex Spleeno stole my electricity. There's no power here. I'm a powerless woman.
Wow, this iron isn't working, much like John Jansen's penis through most of our relationship, even though he claims to be having iron sex 5 times a day now. We'll see about that.
So now it's flag football day. So they arrive at a beach restaurant called Sahara, which is, you know,
right there by the beach. You know, when I think of the Sahara Desert, I think, close proximity to a body of water. So Emily arrived, people are arriving and they're setting up and everything. And Emily's getting some margs and stuff. And she starts talking to us about, oh, flag football is a great way to get all this tension out. Like, clearly how women do it is not working. So let's just beat each other up and then walk away. I'm like, yeah, but flag, you don't beat each other up in flag football. That's why there's flags there. That's the whole point. Low contact.
Yeah.
Work on this harder, Emily.
So Gina arrives in some kind of Tamu leopard print. I don't know. It's sad. Whatever it is makes me makes me sad. So Emily greets her and Katie, and Emily's like, you want a margarita? I go to skinny because basically I'm just torturing myself to be thin. It's like so hard. I have a skinny margarita here. I'm going to have another skinny margarita there. Do you think that'll make me double skinny? Oh.
And then Katie shows up and she says, you know, I wouldn't call myself athletic. I was a figure skater for 10 years. I went to ICI Worlds, but got silver. And, you know, I quit when I was a sophomore in high school and decided to lean into the much more exciting world of golf.
Yeah, I figured she's one of those who's like, yeah, I never work out. Except for that time I was like a nationally ranked ice skater. Never.
She and Jill Zarin should put on an invitational.
So the competition could be
Jill Zarin will do a triple locks. He's a New Yorker.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
I'm Dan Taberski. In 2011, something strange began to happen at the high school in Leroy, New York.
I was like at my locker and she came up to me and she was like stuttering super bad. I'm like, stop f-ing around. She's like, I can't.
A mystery illness, bizarre symptoms, and spreading fast.
It's like doubling and tripling and it's all these girls.
With a diagnosis, the state tried to keep on the down low.
Everybody thought I was holding something back.
Well, you were holding something back intentionally.
Yeah.
No, it's hysteria. It's all in your head. It's not physical. Oh my gosh, you're exaggerating.
Is this the largest mass hysteria since the witches of Salem? Or is it something else entirely?
Something's wrong here. Something's not right.
Leroy was the new Dateline, and everyone was trying to solve the murder.
A new limited series from Wondery and Pineapple Street Studios. Hysterical. Follow Hysterical on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Hysterical early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Divorced, beheaded, died. Divorced, beheaded, survived. We know the six wives of Henry VIII as pawns in his hunt for a son, but their lives were so much more than just being the king's wives. I'm Arisha Skidmore-Williams.
And I'm Brooke Ziffrin. And we're the hosts of Wondery's podcast, Even the Royals. In each episode, we'll pull back the curtain on royal families, past and present, from all over the world to show you the darker side of what it means to be royalty.
We rarely see Henry VIII's wives in their own light, as women who used the tools available to them to hold on to power. Some women won the game, others lost, but they were all unexpected agents in their own stories.
Being a part of a royal family might seem enticing, but more often than not, it comes at the expense of everything else, like your freedom, your privacy, and sometimes even your head. Follow Even the Royals on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Go deeper and get more to the story with Wondery's top history podcasts, including American Scandal, Legacy, and Black History for Real.
So Heather comes, of course, like, hello, poor people. And Emily's like, oh, you're the ref. Did you wear a ref shirt? And she's like,
I do have a ref shirt, but I have to go through my bag to look for it. Hold on, please.
And Emily's like, do you know anything about flag football? She goes, oh, you don't even know what I know.
Currently to practice, I had one maid start at one gate and run to another gate. And if someone took a flag off of her, we tripped her on the second gate's electricity cord and then buried her alive until she learned her lesson. It's a pretty fun game so far.
Basically, the way we play flag football in my house is I just run around with the ball until Alfredo blows his whistle and says touchdown, which he's contractually obligated to say every 10 seconds. So I always win. It's great.
So Heather's like, well, apparently there's no designer referee shirt, so I have to wear polyester.
Disgusting.
She is furious at having to wear this ref shirt. You can tell. You know she's on the phone with producers beforehand saying, I mean, everyone knows I'm the referee. Why do I have to wear a Foot Locker shirt to prove it? I think this is actually beyond the scope of my obligations to this television show.
So Tamara comes and Tamara's like, oh my God, you guys were right because Emily said that Heather would come with this refugee. Heather, sorry about your country.
So awkward.
Rich, suck up your ass, people. Coming over on what? Sticks up their ass? Zip fly?
So they give Heather like, they give Heather like
build lots of walls. We were just talking about those. I build lots of gates. I don't know. I always say, if you're going to build a wall, at least put a gate on it. Am I right?
So they give Heather whistles and she starts blowing them like crazy. And Emily's like, I knew you would like a whistle. Yes. Well, I call this my maid bird song. Anytime I want a maid around me, I just blow a whistle in my house and they just pop up every 10 seconds.
That's right up her alley. She probably like needs to whistle in her everyday life. I'm sure she's like, get up, go to work, make more money, Terry.
Emily's kind of failing this season. There, I said it. Okay, pull a fucking Subway sandwich out of your fucking purse and make yourself hilarious again. I'm pissed at Emily today. I'm sorry. Carry on.
I know. Listen, it's
I'm not happy with Emily today.
It's a safe space. So Alexa shows up and hugs everyone. Everyone's just saying hi, and Jen shows up and Jen's saying, "I'm trying to walk in and keep my wits about me and stay calm. I feel a little pissed at Gina. I don't know what's going to happen. I guess I would say." I'm a little bit uneasy to see her. Thanks. I love how she like winds up. Like she's just going to come up with this like mega diss. Like, I guess I would say I'm a little uneasy. It's like, oh, okay.
Someone's like, all right, everybody, let's warm up with some squats.
Oh, you mean like squatters? All right. Well, Jen's here. Jen, warm up.
Thank you so much for acknowledging my lower leg strength.
No, it was actually a sick diss, but that's fine.
Oh, okay. Well, I apologize. I didn't understand it. But if you do it again in the future, I'll be sure to laugh. Thank you so much.
Oh, look, Shannon Bedore has a costume. She has a costume, everybody.
And Tamara's like,
oh, wow, shocker. She's got a costume. Look at Wacker Shannon Bedore. So fucking hilarious.
Tamara's acting as if she has not shown up at like a fair number of shoots wearing a costume herself. Right.
Oh my God, like, Tamara with her, like, let's all pretend we're old lady Tres Amigas. Late, remember that one? Like,
oh, we're wacky old ladies, everybody.
Or any number of 1980s, you know, hair band episodes that they've done.
Yeah, or that possum getup she's been wearing for years. So Emily's like, all right, listen, we're going to be like in junior high and pick teams.
So Heather's like blowing with... So Tamara's like, oh my God. And Emily's like, oh, ready? Okay. Tamara, I'm going to go. So they pick teams. Emily has Gina and Shannon and Sarah and Michelle and Jody. So congratulations, Jody, coming all the way in from New Jersey to play some flag football.
And Tamara gets Jennifer, Alexis, Paulina, Annabelle, and Katie. So Emily is
By the way, I just want to say, poor Katie. Katie, the new girl, gets picked after two non-cast members. That's sad.
Yeah, why do they hate Katie so much? Like, who even is Paulina and Annabelle? Are Paulina, is Annabelle is one of the daughters?
Is that Emily's daughter? Is Annabelle? Was Annabelle there playing? I don't know.
Is it the scary doll?
Yes, that's what it was.
So, basically, the people who don't like each other are on opposite teams. So they're going to be going at each other. And Tamara's like, I'm just looking for cute girls on my side. That's all I want. And so now they have to make team shirts and come up with a name. So they have to come up with names. And Tamara's like,
let's come up with some names, guys. Bitch.
Like, no, Tamara.
Okay, how about this one? Bitch face.
No, Tamara.
Shanna's stupid. How about a team is called Shanna's fucking stupid and the characters are dumb. I hate a fucking costume, see ya.
And then Jen's like, well, what's something that's a theme that we all kind of have? And Heather's like, the Mom Squad. How about the Mom Squad? What a great name. Mom Squad. Everyone's like,
Hot top. Hot moms. How about hot moms, bitch?
Alexis goes, what about badass moms? What about moms that are dating Johnny Jansen? How about that? Is that a good theme for us all? Or is that just me?
And then the other team, or is it the other team? Yeah, I think it's the other team. And Shannon's like, the killers. How about the killers? How about a kill? Fucking Alexis Petoria. Sorry, I even gave Alexis my last name. She really is taking over my life. Heather's like, the dominators, the destroyers. I mean, I'm just coming up with things that my staff calls me. Puta Gringa. Anything like that sound good?
Okay. I like destroyers. Or we could just call them the Alexises.
So then back to Tamara. Tamara's like, how about we do team love? Because I'm a Christian. Let's do that. How about team Jesus loves Tamara the most? Because Tamara's been christened longest. How about that?
And Heather's like, that's boring. So then Alexis goes, well, maybe we should be team forgiveness and acceptance. What is even happening here right now? These two names are the worst things I've ever heard.
So stupid. Heather's like, terrible name, vetoing that. So then Tamara's asking Katie what she's up to. And Katie's like, oh, well, most recently, I was on a sports field that was not golf, which was a little weird for me. And I was picked last. So it's been fun. It's been basically fun. Thanks for asking.
And she talks about how she just moved up from San Diego, and she talks about her kids and everything. And she talks about how she had been married for 10 years and got divorced and thought she would just be a dog mom and would just adopt a bunch of dogs and live in a farm in Georgia. Cause like, I mean, nobody wants a woman with three kids. I mean, look at Gina. Am I right, everyone? Anyway, I met this wonderful man and who thought it was so endearing that I had three kids and had a motherly instinct. Let's roll some footage of my motherly instinct. And it's just her trying to help her kid with a mechanical toothbrush.
Yeah. My husband loves watching me mother. And then it just cuts to her kid being like,
I hate this, mommy.
Heather's like, okay, well, that was thrilling. Don't know how you got cast. Okay, I'm going to go check on the other team. I'll be back. So Jen talks to Katie and she's like, oh, I was going to ask if you talked to Katie. She's like, no, what's going on? She's like, well, she was, you know, she did help me get into that last house and the rent wasn't being paid and I don't have the means to cover that. And she's like, you know what? You're a fucking joke. And, I'm out of here and pay your fucking bills and fuck the croissant too. Fuck the croissant too. She said it. She said that. I sat there comforting that croissant for, God, half an hour, really, until they said, ma'am, we're going to have to give your chair away. And I said, what is it, my house? Jesus, can I catch a break?
And Alexis is like, wait, she said that to you? Is there animosity here now between you two and we're sitting right here? Have you fucked her boyfriend yet? No? Oh, wow.
Have you asked for her table at the Quiet Woman yet? You just try that. Get some every time.
Gone to her gym? We got to her gym. That's a really good move.
So then the other team, Shannon's like, well, okay, everybody, wacky Shannon, everyone listen to, first we're going to do a Shay-Shay, and then we're going to do the streak run, and then we're going to do the Alexis, which is where a ball is thrown and it's dragging on the floor because it's really old and lopsided, but you catch it and you put it in your mouth anyway, and boom, you've got a, I'm sorry, I was talking about Alexis probably teabagging John Jansen. Does that bother anybody else? Because it really sticks in my craw.
Jen is still talking about Gina. She's like, I mean, she said I'm like ruining her reputation. Like I didn't move into the house thinking, oh, I'm just not going to pay my bills. And Tamara's like,
well, I know that she's a new real estate agent and she's like worried about her reputation, bitch. And Jen's like, of course, I'm totally sympathetic to her. But she also left a full croissant on the table. So that was pretty bad.
Tamara's like, yeah, you know, she's a new real estate agent. And listen, as somebody who loves Jesus and love, because I'm being nice in today's episode, except for all my relentless Shannon mockery that's coming for no reason. But, you know, as someone who's also pretended to be into real estate for a storyline one time, I totally get it. You're a bitch.
And she's like, well, I think Gina's just saying don't move into a house you can't afford. And Alexa's saying, oh, yeah, hopefully you guys can have a conversation like it's woman on woman.
And then it goes over to Emily's team and Shannon's like,
by the way, sorry, I'm going to whisper. I want to make sure that no one can hear me talking about that slut. Alexis Bellino! Oops, sorry. Anyway, since I am a founding member of the Quiet Woman, I will act the part. Did Alexis talk about her sex life with John? Because Heather told me that she did a little bit. And Gina's like, yeah, she did.
Yeah, she said 4 times a day, which is as many times as I used to audition in the 90s.
Oh,
So then we see flashback of 2 weeks ago and, you know, Alexis being like, a true lady doesn't talk about her sex life, but it's been two today and we still have tonight to go. So it could be three or four more tonight.
Yeah. And Shanna's like, that is just so inappropriate. Oh my God. I can't believe someone's talking like that. And Heather's like, I would die if I, no, I think Emily said she would, well, I think it was Emily. He's like, I would die if I had to have sex four times a day. I'd fucking hide in the closet. It was fucking ridiculous, especially with Shane. And Shanna's like,
let's just be realistic. I mean, can someone have sex four times a day? What pill are you taking?
Well, ladies, who is ready for some piping hot coffee? That's what they say, right? Well, here we go. Let me tell you something. I have been working out with Steve, my trainer slash number one shamer, and we trained with him the other night. I think you may remember the generosity that I showed in bringing you all to my gym. Yes, well, I've known him for, I guess we're approaching 6 years, and so I introduced John to him, and guess who was at that little gym there? That's my gym. It was Alexis Bellino was there 30 minutes before we got there. That's right. Alexis Bellino went to the same gym that I went to.
And then we see that Alexis has taken a gym selfie to post on Instagram with John at Shanna's gym. Alexis, just trying. I mean, she's trying really, really hard. And it's working. You know, you got to give her credit because it is bearing fruit. So Emily's like, oh, he took him. Well, he took her with him. He took him with her. And Shanna's like,
yeah, I mean, taking her to my gym. Can you find another gym? Stay the fuck away from my gym. Gina's like, oh, well, there are certain things you got to let go. I mean, anyone would be upset. I don't care if I had worked there in 4 years. I wouldn't fucking want my ex-boyfriend claiming my gym.
So Shannon's like, I mean, John, I mean, I introduced to my trainer and he's bringing Alexis to my gym now. And you know what? Next thing you know, she'll be drinking from my water fountain and using my favorite towel. It's ridiculous.
And Heather's just staring at everybody like, why do all of these people have to leave their property to go to the, what did they call it?
The gym, Heather. I can hear your judgmental thoughts.
Oh, yes. The gym. And who's that named after? Again, is it someone who, with big muscles, I hope?
When it comes to the Bellinos, it's one gym or another that's giving me trouble. That's what I have to say.
So Shannon's like, she's like, you know,
what is she trying to do? Find another gym!
So now they're playing flag football. So they're going to, they get up and everything. And, you know, Alexis, they're getting up and Gina's talking to Alexis as they're moving to the beach. And Gina's saying like, oh my God, I don't want to run. Like, I hate running. And Alexis is like, oh, that's not true because you went to the gym, I heard. You know, my trainer, our trainer, Johnny's old trainer, told me that you guys were there and were throwing the football around really good. I thought that was really good at my gym with Johnny.
Gina's like, oh, God, thank you for that. But now I just heard about this. I was like, so you go to this gym now? I'm sorry, are you speaking Spanish? No, it's my crazy, wacky Long Island City accent. That's how we talk.
Yeah, well, yeah, I do go to this gym because Johnny goes there when, and so I train with him, of course, because like, why would I not be by his side? Because we may fuck at any second, right? So I have my own trainer. So it's Johnny's trainer, me, my trainer. And then there's just like a poster of Shannon Medora that we throw darts at. It's so fun.
But doesn't that mean you want to be me?
I'm sorry. Are you just listing IKEA furniture now?
It's my icing.
Like, Gina, stop laying it on so thick. How do you have an accent 10 times as thick as it was 5 minutes ago? Come on.
So doesn't it make you like really uncomfortable though to be at Shannon's gym? And Alexis is like, she hasn't been there for 6 fucking months, okay? Like Johnny himself. And she goes, really? No. Well, I guess there's different sides of the story.
So then later we get a, oh, this person at the gym is such a tattletale and they're telling tales out of school. Like it's like a psychiatrist tattletaled on a patient or something. And I agree because I forgot about this piece of evidence that the trainer, I mean, who else would say except the trainer, like, oh, don't worry, Shannon hasn't even been here for 6 months. The fuck is wrong with this personal gym? You know, it's not the way to keep a customer. That's what I say.
Very gossipy.
Yeah. So then they go to play some flag football. And Alexis is telling us, I mean, that's Johnny Jansen's gym, by the way. And you can't call it your gym and can't unless you bought the place. Do you own the gym? If you love the gym so much, why don't you just marry the gym? you want to marry the gym? I'm dating the gym now. Sorry. You can't hold the gym.
I just got a promised ring from the gym. So so now Shannon's talking to Gina, and she's like,
"How? I can't with her trying so hard. You know, I'm so friendly with everybody." And Gina's like, "Yeah, well, she brought up the gym already, and she brought it up to me because she said you throw the football good, and you were just at my gym." What? She called it? She just called it my gym? Are you fucking kidding me? My gym? Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
She said my trainer. She said my trainer, too.
Here lies Shannon Bedore, killed by the character assassination of my gym to be called her gym. Wow.
Well, I'm just. Okay, well, I'm just typically a very fun person, but it's just pushing me. You know me, fun Shannon. Gina's like, Shannon, don't let it defeat you, okay? Don't let this defeat you. I mean, of course, I just heard something and came to tell you publicly to give you a nervous breakdown, but don't let it defeat you, okay?
So now they finally start playing football. I mean, I feel like every 5 minutes we're like, and now they get up to play football. It's been a long process of getting them to the field. And now they're playing. And Katie's like, the only thing I know about football is Matt Ryan blowing it for the Falcons because I'm from Atlanta. Like, you know, Matt Ryan was like, finally, something safe for me to watch where I won't be shamed. Damn it.
Then Heather opens up a notebook called
Lines My Assistant Wrote Me. Sorry, lack of a better title.
She flips it open. She's like, I know nothing about football except that Taylor Swift's boyfriend plays. Ha 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 ha.
Was that funnier this time? Was that a better read than it was last week? Do you think I'm getting through to the people?
This is going to precipitate Taylor and Travis's breakup. I'm telling you this right now. Taylor Swift is going to watch this and say, oh, God, I really can't have Heather be part of my Swiftier.
We're going to have to bro lines. I'm out of here.
Yeah, I can't. I can't be source material for Heather DeBro. So they're playing flag football, and they're just talking about it. Like, oh, my God. Like, I just, my plan is just to survive. And they're playing and playing and playing. And it's fun. And there's, like, tackling. And Heather's like, there's no tackling in flag football. And they win.
Alexis gets a flag from Shannon, and she's like, oh, that hurts. One more thing Alexis took from Shannon. God, I can't wait to find out Terry's cheating. Please, when is that storyline coming? Can we just have a season with all my dream hits come true? Like Terry DeBro cheating, and then people mocking Heather relentlessly for it, like she's doing to Shannon. And then Emily gets poor. Please. And then Gina becomes president. Because even though I don't really like her, you know, someone's got to win in this whole scenario.
That would be the strangest day. I don't know how Gina as president, like,
you know, United States of America, hi, this is your president talking. And I know that our country is more divided than ever. And I feel bad. I just feel really bad.
I feel really bad that Jen's so poor. But you know what, guys? I'm closing all of the borders, but I'm opening lots more Barnes and Nobles. So hopefully that makes it up to you guys.
Boy, as tax stimulus this year, instead of sending checks, I'm going to send everyone a complimentary box of Caragala.
Caragala.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
My name is Georgia King, and I am thrilled to be the host of And Away We Go, a brand new travel podcast on Wondery Plus, where we'll be whisked away on immersive adventures all around the world. Where we go, what we do, what we eat, drink, and listen to will all be up to my very special guests. We've got Ben Schwartz taking us on a whirlwind trip around Disneyland. We'll eat a bowl of life-changing pasta with Jimmy O Yang in Tuscany, Italy. And how do you feel about a spot of sugaring off with Emily Hampshire in Montreal? And Away We Go will immerse you in some of the wonders of the world.
We're going to be seeing some yellows and vibrant oranges.
And the shoes clicking against the cobblestone.
If you're looking to get somebody in the mood, have them look at the Chicago skyline.
You can listen to And Away We Go exclusively with Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Georgia, do you know what joy sounds like?
I think I'm hearing it right now.
So then, they play, and let's see. Emily's like, Destroyer wins in the end, and love sucks. So I guess just fuck love. Just love fucking destroy
whatever.
So they go to the restaurant, and Alexis is like, do I look okay for winter formal pictures? Because I'm literally going to my son's winter formal. Like, I'm only going to walk in there. Johnny J is probably going to show up in a suit to, like, take me to winter formal. He's just so fucking romantic like that, you guys.
Yeah, we're checking the photos at my gym, Johnny Jansen's gym. Spread the word. So then she leaves, and Shannon is like, well, am I the topic of conversation over there? And Katie's like, where? She's like, well, Jen's like, no, I'm sure it's me. I'm sure this is pretty much a Jen episode today.
No, I'm pretty sure it's a Shannon episode. She went to my gym, which I think is going to be a good 5-episode arc. So zip it, Pori.
This is going to be like the Dune of Real Housewives of Orange County. In 3 years, we'll talk about it again.
So Katie's like, yeah, what I gather from Jen, hold on, let me see. The wind is coming from the east and taking out the birdie stick. God, I really need to learn some golf terms if we're going to do a lot of Katie. But she's like, you know, Jen in the moment was surviving and she didn't know what to do. And Gina has the right to be angry because that bridge was burned with a realtor. I can see both sides and it's no one's fault. I think we're going to just have to call a mulligan on this whole situation. And that's my advice. Let's see where we stand.
I think that Jen and Gina need to talk and communicate. And Gina's like, well, you know, I'm not thrilled, obviously, about the way that that conversation happened, Jen, and how we left it, okay? And Jen's like, well, me either, Gina. I just feel like, if any of us, you've been in a hard spot. She goes, well, that's why I helped you. She goes, yeah, but I think you misunderstand. I don't have a judgment, okay? So you keep telling me to figure out and hustle in the 3 years that I separated, but I never questioned my rent being paid. You know, it's not my fault that I really just had to sit back and have someone else pay all my bills for me.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't like that because I feel like this woman is raising a ton of children on her own. Granted, it's due to kind of decisions to cheat on her husband and leave him. So I'm not really saying that. But she's got like a ton of kids that she's taking care of. And I don't think it's really anybody's business to be judging that shit. Like, so what? A lot of people get divorced from a person that's richer than them and stays at home with the kids while they get their rent paid or whatever. I just don't think it's fair for other people to judge that. I think that's where Gina's really losing it here.
For me.
And Gina's like, well, no matter what the situation was, I'm sympathetic to it. And I understand there's a problem. Deal with your ex or whatever. But you signed the contract and you appealed to me. And she's like, yeah, well, I'm more aware of that than you are. So, like, all I owe you is the apology. And thank you for helping me. And she's like, no. This burnt me bad, Jan. This burnt me bad. Okay? Because I put someone in a home that wasn't paying their bills, Jan. No, you... There was a house that was open. You found someone to fill that slot, and then you took a nice fat commission check for it. So you're welcome, okay? You're welcome for her for getting you a commission check and then getting booted out of there so that place is open again for you to rent again. How about that?
Yeah, Gina goes, I had a very good relationship with this agent, and now this woman won't even return my calls.
Well, then, did you have a good relationship with this woman? Because if you have a good relationship, you'd be able to – not only would you – be able to talk it out, then you get to both go to get coffee and talk shit about Jen together, and that brings you closer as friends and as colleagues. So I don't think you were close in the first place.
And Jen's like, well, that's weird because she returns my call. She goes, yeah, of course she returns your calls because she represents the woman in the house that you're squatting in. And Tamara's drinking and she's like, oh,
that was hilarious. I love a squatting show, guys. It's all about love. It's all about love, guys.
Squatting, I'm just doing Warrior One. It's a difference. So then, you know, squatting is like that's a major curse word in Orange County, you know. And
you're a squatter. You're a squatter. Squatter, poor squatter.
Let's not get me. Let's not say the S word. Let's not say the SQU word, girls.
And Heather's like, we don't have to use that word. That is a terrible word. We are currently calling that people who currently are without straight legs.
I don't like to say the word squat. What I like to say is stumpy. Are we talking about our servants or no?
Jen's like, I'm not a squatter, okay? I was freaking out. Gina's like, well, I wish you would have called me, Jen. I wish you would have called me, okay? As a friend, because I was freaking the fuck out. And she's like, I'm sorry, I didn't even know. So Tamara's like, you know, I just think that Jen married Will when he was young and Will took care of her. She goes, yeah, yeah,
you know, and that's on me. I'm learning, you know, I'm learning what it's like. Like, I didn't have access to anything. Like, how am I supposed to know?
And Emily's doing this like crazy thing. She's like, crazy. She's crazy.
Yeah. And John's like, why are you so judgy about it? Because you could do things legally. You could go to court. And Heather's like, but she's saying she didn't know. You guys all have to remember, Jen is not a smart person. And Jen's like, thank you so much for acknowledging that. You know, it's scary to be 46 and try to figure out how to do things that people learn in their 20s. And the producer's like, well, what age did you have a credit card in your name? She's like, well, I've never had a credit card in my name. Thank you so much. And I never knew what fear was, what stress was. And this is a new spot for me.
And she's like, yeah, I want to stand on my own 2 feet. It's just like so hard because I've never really stood before without somebody like telling me, stand up, Jen. Okay, so here I go, standing up.
Stand up, Jen. Means
thank you. Thank you. Okay, and now I can stand up. You.
I guess this means I'm technically no longer squatting now that I'm standing.
So Jen is like, she's saying like, I don't want my card to not get paid. And Tamara goes,
did it get repossessed?
And she goes, no, I got rid of it. And we see a conversation from 2 days ago where Ryan's like, look, you're $24,000 upside down on your car. Like, how about this? Take my car and then I'll get a new one and I'll absorb your debt into my payments and everything. So he absorbs the deficit. So I think the thing that's going through my mind through all this is that, like, I totally agree with you. People can get married. They wind up in a place where, like, they are just focused on raising the children and, you know, taking care of the household, which I think is totally great. But like, people could wind up in a situation where they don't know where the money's coming from. And then all of a sudden the rug's pulled out from under them. And then they realize, like, oh shit, very quickly, like, I should know where this is coming from, yada, yada, yada. So that's why, to me, it's like Jen moving from the situation with Will right into Ryan, where she's like, well, now I'm going to stand on my own 2 feet. Ryan, can you take care of this for me? I'm like, Jen, you need to start now finding ways that way, like, you're not dependent on Ryan because you're just subbing in Ryan for Will. I mean, obviously she needs Ryan. If she doesn't have Ryan, she is shit out of luck. So I get that. But that's like, now it's time to start taking some steps.
Right. Yeah. No, look, everybody needs to learn how to take care of themselves. You should never rely on a man or anybody else. And I think that that's kind of obvious, like, to most of us. But I just mean, it's not something to scream at a person over. You know what I mean? Like, it's just sad. Like, she's broke, you know? Like, mm-hmm. The conversation this turns into this conversation actually turns into a good thing, I think. So they're talking about this car being absorbed or whatever, which just always sounds so funny. It sounds like such a, like, superhero thing. Like, I absorbed the debt. So Heather's like, okay, well, what happens when Ryan gets mad that he absorbed $24,000 debt? And she's like, I mean, I just absorbed $40 million profit. I have to say, that felt pretty good. Is the absorption feeling the same with automobiles and debt versus profit? That's the question.
And Jen's saying, like, well, I mean, if something were to happen with Ryan, I'm literally homeless and I don't have a car. And Gina's like, Ryan. And Heather's like, all right, well, let's fix that right now. Let's get you a job, preferably turning down beds, preferably in my house. I have a bed in the basement for you to sleep in for the next 30 years.
Okay, I want you to start thinking of working. So I have 3 racks of identical pink leather jackets that I want Gina to try on because she too is poor. So please roll those out. We'll watch her try them.
And so now Gina starts doing a pivot. She goes, no, I never thought that you're a bad person. And I understand you're at a point in your life where you have to be selfish because I've been there too. Like, I've literally said that, you know, like, so I get it. I mean, I just got a little burned by it. You know, I'm still in the scary zone too, because guess what? Now it's going to be all about me. All right. Because now that you've generated sympathy from the table, I think I want sympathy too. So guys,
that's exactly right. Out. That's exactly right what you just said. Gina sees that she's not winning this one. So she's like, oh, I'm going to start crying now and make this story about how I'm the real victim in all of this, when she just fucking dragged this woman for 3 episodes.
Yeah.
So she's like, yeah, Travis is moving out. So it's like a lot going on with me. And then Jen is fucking like a fucking little angel. She goes, oh my God, honey, Travis is moving out. Jen just dragged you. Why are you the first one to comfort her? She's so nice.
I know.
I can't.
So Gina's like, you know, we can't afford a house like the size that we need. And I don't want to make a bad financial decision. It's times like I really need to have to button down. Some people would say they batten down the houses, but no, guess batten down the hatches. I actually button down. And we're all going to put on Oxford shirts and we're going to button down. And you know, we both got destroyed by these divorces and I'm rebounding and he's working so hard to move forward, but he has to go to court.
Yeah, and Heather's like, he has to go to court. And pay some more money. Is that what's happening? Oh, poor literal people. I knew something was going on with Gina and Travis. It's just, I don't know. I just didn't want to show up with another box of toys. You know, she didn't like that last time. One time I just tried to drive by and leave some canned food on the stoop. And she tried to shoot at me with a BB gun. So, I don't know. I've learned that lesson. So then we see a flashback to Gina and Heather talking, and Gina saying, you know, Travis's ex makes everything so difficult. You know, like, it's really hard to co-parent with Matt because, like, Matt's so nice, but, like, Travis's wife is, like, so bad. So, like, what do we do from here?
Yeah, and Heather's like, I really like how mature Gina is being with all this change in her life. Literally coins and, you know, nickels and quarters and dimes. She's doing great with all this change, and I'm really impressed by her.
She's basically a walking coin star in terrible leopard print.
You know what? It's my decision, yes, because what happens, it's hard. It's like I'm moving forward financially, and now I have like a little extra, and I can spend it on vacation or my kids, but then how do you spend on three and not six? And then I have guilt, and then I'm holding back from mine, and then it's like building resentment there. You know, I feel bad.
So she's saying like she's got extra money, so she wants to take her kids to Disneyland, and like why would she wouldn't be able to do that if she had to take his kids too. I mean, here's the thing. It's like when you blend the families when you're in need and then suddenly you get extra money and then you're immediately like, well, now that I'm on my feet, why would I help exactly. You fuckers? That's a little...
I think it's like, I don't love this. If she said it was like, no, his ex is, it's too much. She's too much in our lives. It's affecting my kids. It's affecting our happiness. It's toxic.
If she had stopped there, she would have won this. Yeah, me too. I agree with you.
But like this whole like, oh, now I have a little bit, like what you just brought up is so true. They blended their families to help her get her feet on the ground, by the way. And she seems to forget that while she's actively shaming Jen about like not taking the steps to do whatever, while Jen is actually blending her family with Ryan. So yeah, it's like if this is truly it feels kind of shitty to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to make it. My opinion still is all over the place because part of me is like, well, that's shitty because they helped you when you needed it. And now you have money, so you don't want to be helpful with them. That fucking sucks of you. You're fucking selfish. But on the other hand, I'm like, well, why should she support this man's kids? And this guy should have been divorced a long time ago, and he's pulling it out because Social media says that he's trying to get child support from the wife or whatever. So I don't know. Like, to me, Travis just seems like kind of a schlub who doesn't move a lot. And I feel like he's that kind who's going to be like, I want to be the stay-at-home dad while you work or something. So I don't like that either for Gina. And I don't always love Gina, but I want Gina to love Gina. And I think that she deserves the best. So I just don't know. I don't know where I am. Well, after she said this, I was like, yeah, she sounds pretty shitty after that.
Also, didn't he take the real estate test last year? Where's his real estate career? What's going on with that?
I think he already had his, or was he studying too? Because it seemed, remember, he knew all the answers to the questions that he was testing her. So I don't know if he had just gotten his or what. And I don't know. It's so hard because the explanation isn't very clear on what's happening in this relationship. So it's really hard to judge it properly. It's really hard to be a judgmental asshole when you don't have the
evidence
need, guys.
My instinct is to say this is not great. My instinct is to say, like, this is a complicated situation that adults are having a hard time fully understanding. So I can't imagine that kids will understand it. And, like, as far as these kids know, they were in this blended situation. Now they're not in a blended situation and they have to like figure out like what's going on. And like, but you guys are together, but we don't live together. I think that's like a lot to put on the kids. And I like you wish we had a little clearer view of what the true situation is so we can truly weigh in with pure judgment.
So they're trying to understand it too, right? So Jen's like, wait, so you're not breaking up with him? Oh, thank you so much for clarifying. She goes, no, it's not my intention to break up, but like, I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain it, you know? And Tamara's like,
well, I don't know anybody that's lived together for 4 years and then said like, oh, by the way, you need to move out, but we're going to still stay together. Nah, that doesn't make any sense. Nah, that's not how you do it. Nah.
To be fair, I think a lot of things don't make sense to Tamara. Okay. A lot of economy, things about him don't make sense to me.
Sprinkler so. Systems. So Gina's like, yeah, because even though I move forward a lot, I'm like still in it too. So like I had to be selfish in this moment too, guys. Like I had to do that. I had to do it.
No, I know. And I didn't know. And I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that that I was going through hard times when you were going through hard times. I should have realized that this was your time to go through hard times. I'm so sorry for that.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that like your storyline was being poor and overcoming, and now my storyline is being poor and probably going to be overcoming better than you in some way, even though I'm dating a criminal, as we'll find out in about 3 episodes. So
I'm so sorry that I was ambushed with bankruptcy versus you who decided just to move out. So I'm so sorry that I had some sort of terrible ordeal in my life when you're going through a sort of an annoying ordeal. That's just not fair to you.
And Jen's like, you know what? I really want good things for you, Gina. I just want such good things for you. Most likely hair, you know, that could use some work. But, you know, most of all, just great, great things. She goes, I want good things for you too. I really do. Okay. I really, really do. She goes, okay. So I thought this was nice. Like it actually worked out fairly nice towards the end. And this is where I was like, okay, I think I like Gina again for now.
I mean, it did actually shed some light on it. As much as we make fun of it, like it became clear that like Gina's reaction was really about like the frustrations probably in her life, frustrations with people not doing what they're saying they're doing. And yeah, it probably says a lot more about her situation with Travis than it does with Jen.
So then Emily's like, okay, guys, I have awards. Oh God, hasn't your fucking party been lame enough without made up awards? So she brings out her awards and Gina's like, you know, I feel unsettled in my relationship. So it's been like stressful for me, but I just want her to take responsibility for herself. And side note, please don't run me over with your bullshit next time.
See, and then you go back there.
But
see,
you just admitted that you're running over her with your bullshit right now. So,
yeah. So Gina gets MVP and then least valuable player goes to Heather. Heather's like, I'm taking this and I'm giving it to Richard Marks. So then, that's pretty much it. So now
Then we get Emily's line, which cemented my hatred for Emily until something changes. But she's like, I mean, come on, Jen. Because Jen was like, thank you. You fucking failed. Like, but you tried. Cause she got a You Tried award. That's the award that she got. It's called You Tried. And Emily goes, yeah, you tried to play. You tried to pay rent. You tried to drive a Range Rover. Not really working out, but you tried. Here's your award. Asshole.
I mean, I chuckled.
She's an asshole.
I was not having an adverse reaction to Emily.
Yeah, I did. I was like, please be poor now. Can't wait for you to lose everything.
So, karma strikes very swiftly because the next scene, Emily tries to get out of her car and she's squished in there by another car and she has to struggle out. So the first crack in her life appears right away. So she's with Shannon and they're at a photography studio because guess what? It's time for more boudoir photos.
So my 15th anniversary with Shane is coming up and like he has everything he could ever want. G-chat, side-loaded onto his Amazon Fire Stick so he could still use that occasionally. All he really ever wants is like car parts. So I feel like the best gift for him is like the gift of me. You know,
I want him to get in the zone, the Emily zone. Oh, 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 Shane, auto parts.
So they go and she's doing these photos and it's more boudoir. I mean, Emily, like you said, Emily looks great. I mean, she has an amazing booty, which she shows off as she should, as is her right. And she's just talking about Shane. Is Shane a lingerie person?
I need to know before I need is a really disturbing image of me seeing Shane sniffing lingerie to push out the vile images I have of Alexis Bellino at my gym.
You're lucky that I didn't find this boudoir photography place first. Otherwise, we might have walked into Johnny Jansen in his underwear getting his picture took. Fine.
I'm fine. So Emily goes on about how she's lost weight, but she still feels insecure because now she's getting obsessive and going to the gym every single day. And, you know, Shane wants her to take a break, but she doesn't want to. And it's because she's battled with weight her whole life. And as someone who also battles with weight their whole life, like, I totally get that. But, you know, I don't know. I guess I choose to, like, get past it with prayer and ice cream, and she gets past it with boudoir pictures. So, I mean, I guess to each their own, you know? You go, girl.
Yeah, exactly. So then we got over to Tamara, who's she's with her dog, and she meets up with Jen and her dog and Alexis. And Alexis has a dog that looks just like Archie. It's another golden retriever, but this one has long strands of slobber coming out of its mouth that repulsed me to my core.
I think because it wants to bang the other dog, right? Or do you think the other dog has a ball or something? Because you know those fucking attic golden retrievers. Yeah, because if
there must have been a ball,
there must have been something, because that golden retriever wanted something. It's like, give it to me. Do you have a ball? You smell like a ball. Why do you smell like ball? Like, fuck off, yeah. Bro. So, that's
too much.
Yeah, that golden retriever is steal the TV right off your wall for a fucking ball, you know? So, steal the fucking metal right out of your mouth. Wait, those are my feelings. Get back here, Archie. Archie look alike.
Did that golden retriever just steal the battery out of my Prius? God, I really have a problem.
So, Tamara's like, what the heck? Did you steal Archie from Sharon and Sue? I mean, come on. Doesn't anything, doesn't the stealing ever end with you, Lexus?
No, Shannon, I adopted this dog. I got it from my gym. And Tamara's like, well, first hit boyfriend, not the dog, bitch.
So then we do a side-by-side of Biscuit and Archie, which is funny. She's like, no, I adopted him. I adopted him. And Tamara's like, bitch, still a dog.
So Jen's like, yeah, I mean, couldn't you have left Shannon with something? Jeez, Archie's all she's got. So then they start walking, and Tamara's like, Alexis, you left on Saturday, but Jen got annihilated. It was hilarious. Sorry, Jen. I didn't mean hilarious. I meant felt that when my team was named Love.
You got annihilated? Why? What happened? You know who else got annihilated? Me. God, Jim. Jim just, not Jim. Wow, that's awkward. Johnny J just did me 5 times over on Saturday night. I was annihilated after that. Okay, what are you talking about?
How did you get annihilated? Did they put drops in your eyes?
While watching Annie. So Jen's like, yeah, Gina told me I was a squatter. She told me to pay bills. It's like, whatever. And Tamara's like, yeah, well, you're like, don't you think I wish I could, right? right, Batch? You said that, right, Batch?
And Jen's like, yeah, I mean, like, find me a money tree. I'll hire someone for a few $1,000 to plant them. Okay, plant 4 of them. Like, just give me a money tree. That's fine.
Well, I don't want you to get the same situation you were with Will, where you're, like, living in a beautiful house and driving one of his cars. Like, you can't be okay with that. You gotta put your head down again, Jen. Like, the gym business is great, but it doesn't pay the bills. Take it from me, honor of Cut Fitness.
And Jen tells us, you know, my partners and I in the yoga studio, we do not pay ourselves. It's been slow. And the fact that I sit sometimes thinking that, like, business may fail, that's like paralyzing. Oh, so you're going to take my line too. Paralyzing. Do I have nothing left with these people? I just give and give and give. And what do I get back in return? Nothing.
So Tamara's like, listen, trust me. I know how gyms suck. Like, and we didn't have any employees. You know, this lady's got 30 employees doing nothing. They're broke. They're fucked. So then Tamara's dog tries to eat coyote poop, presumably to put itself into a hospital and get the hell away from Tamara, but it doesn't work. And then we go back to Emily's boudoir shoot, and Shannon's like, okay, let me give you some directions here. Okay, turn the iron on. First things first.
So there's more photos and stuff. And then when the shoot is done, they sort of sit down, they're talking, and Shannon goes,
so let me tell you, Alex is a part owner of the gym, and he's been a friend. That's right. You thought this was a boudoir photo shoot. Guess what? Yes, we are relitigating the gym issue. So, Alex, he's been a friend. I mean, he shames me on TV, but he's a friend. And he called me after a football to see how it went. And, well, I found out what that Alexis went up to Gina and said that, like, oh, so you're working at my gym with my trainer. And it's her, apparently it's her gym and her trainer going there twice. After going there twice, and she says it's her gym. Can you believe it?
I just have to say, Shanna's sitting there wearing a leather mask with bunny ears on and like an S&M bunny mask, which I just think is so funny.
Alice, oh, Alice, why don't you follow me down this hall? Well, look who's at the tea party. Alexis fucking Bellino.
So, like, Emily's like, it's so awkward. Why doesn't John just give you your personal trainer and move on?
I don't know.
So now we go back to the dog walkers. And Jen's like, by the way, Shanna was talking about how you now go to her gym. That's so wonderful. Congratulations.
Well, all I know is I've been training with this guy for like 3 or 4 months. And then all of a sudden she showed up. And then we go back to Shannon and Emily. And Shannon's like, and Alex said, well, we don't want any drama here, ma'am. We do not want any drama here. Please do not have Shannon come back and take off her top again. That was horrifying. And then Alexis said, well, I'm a good Christian girl. And then he said something like, oh, good Christian girls talks about their sex life. And Emily goes, wait a minute, he said that to her? She goes, yeah, well, something like that. And then John said, F you, we're not coming back here again. And he kept saying, oh, Shanna's behind all this. Oh, Shanna's behind all this. Oh, Shanna's behind all this. Oh, Shanna.
I got the picture.
Well, it was a lot of times he said it.
And I'm like, no, I'm not.
I'm like, Shannon, you started the story saying that you called up Alex after football and told him about the gym situation.
I'm not behind this whatsoever.
Also, but this isn't like, the fault of her. She's allowed to gossip. And Alexis said it on national TV in front of like 30 girls. So fuck Alexis, too. But fuck Alex. But Alex is the one to say fuck
his trainer.
Yeah, why are the women fighting? You guys should be all firing the trainer and his shitty little gym who fat shames his customers and now doesn't even let them gossip to him. Why would you go to that guy?
We're missing something from the story. It's weird that Alexis was like, I'm a good Christian girl. I mean, she does say that pretty often, but it's like, how does it go from I'm a good Christian girl to, oh, a good Christian girl talks about our sex life? Like, you don't say that to a client, which has me believe that somehow it escalated to an argument and it got very heated and they both were sort of screaming at each other. Cause I just can't imagine anyone saying that to their client just at, like as a normal response to saying, oh, don't worry, no drama here. I'm a good Christian girl.
Well, you know, Alexis, I mean, Alexis does say stuff like that. Like she'd probably take a number at Baskin Robbins and be like, hey, did you call number 61 yet? I'm a good Christian. So do I get to go?
But yeah, then the person at Baskin Robbins is Baskin Robbins worker isn't going to say, oh, yeah, like a good Christian girl who talks about her sex life.
If it was Alex, it might. They even showed a clip of Alex when Shannon's like, okay, go ahead and take a picture. So we have a picture for my before and after. I'm going to take off my top, but please close your eyes. What you're about to see is horrifying and traumatizing. And then she takes off her shirt and goes, oh, God, Jesus, wow, oh, my God. It's like staring into the sun if the sun was made out of cottage cheese. Jesus Christ. So I believe it coming from Alex. What a douche.
So Alexis is complaining about this now. She's like, I mean, why would anyone even know Tamara? If she wants to fucking do this, it's like, no, we're fucking leaving the gym. We're never going back to this crap shack. This crap shack that you were defending, you know, vehemently like a day before. Like, it's our gym now. And we've decided that, like, if it's our gym and, like, if she decides that she's going to claim it as her gym, that's ridiculous because the best gym in the entire county of Orange.
We're out of this crap shack. And she's like, there's no way he's going to know about a luncheon, okay, where I bring up sex. Like, the only culprit to that is Shannon. Did that sentence make sense? No. But who cares?
So Jen's like, well, you know, she feels just like everywhere you're hanging out with her friends now. You're at the gym. You know, you got her dog. I think you're wearing her leggings a little bit. Oh, yeah, you know, Johnny got them for me. So Alexa goes, you know, I've known Tamara longer than she has. So don't say it's her fucking friends. I've been friends with you way longer and I'm very close to Heather. So like, does this get her ownership now? No.
So back to Shannon and Emily. Emily's like, whoa, it's like very single white female. That's like crazy. You know, they're not going to have the option to really vote much soon if
Oh, never mind. Let's not get into it.
Shannon's like, well, is Alexis trying to live the life that I had? She's with my ex-boyfriend. She's getting love-bombed like I did. Next thing you know, she's going to look gorgeous with long blonde hair wearing a sombrero on a horse.
Good luck trying to be me.
Alexis is like, the only thing I really care about is she needs to like redeem my man's name. Because the truth is coming out, whether she wants to do it or not. John is not going to hold his mouth forever. He's over it.
So then Heather is FaceTiming with Terry. It's like that, let's start over. The housewives are starting their day. It's that kind of stuff where it's like,
hi, Anya.
Oh, no, he calls her that. But she's like, hello, Terry. Can you imagine just getting a FaceTime from Heather? Like, here I am, just going to open my phone. Hello.
They didn't have polyester. They didn't have anything other than polyester. Polyester. Polyester.
So then we go to Shannon's house and...
Archie, stand back. I'm going to light this fireplace. I'm just going to pretend it's John Jansen just burning everything we built down. Hold on. Woo! That was a big fool. Fireball.
Wow! It's like backdraft. I feel like I'm 6 degrees from Kevin Bacon now.
Was Kevin Bacon in backdraft? He was, right?
He was. I actually never saw backdraft.
Me neither. So I was like, why would I want to watch people get burnt to a crisp? Busy.
Exactly. So then Jen...
Busy!
So then Jen and Ryan are at his house and they're kissing in the pool. Oh, they're just having sexy time. And thank you, Bravo, for keeping this blissfully short. They just make out in their pool and he's like, let's have sex. And we just move on. And this
could have turned into a Teddy and Tamara in the hot tub and they cut it short. Thank God. Because they knew that Ryan would do it. Ryan's just dying to jerk off to any camera he can find.
Yeah.
So then Katie and Gina and Sutton, dun, 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 dun. So Sutton is on today, and she comes with her dog, Junebug Carter Cash.
Mm-hmm. So Gina is there. Gina's trying not to cheese out too much for being in a country club. She's like, let me go on. I can't believe I got in here, finally. So Sutton joins, and she's like, oh, God, I haven't seen any of you since my Christmas party. And then Gina's like, oh, well, which I did not receive an invitation to. He's like, oh, yeah, well, that's my fault. We will fix that next year and make sure you don't get invited again. Okay, thank you.
This time, I'm not going to be running any credit checks on people. So maybe this time you'll get in. Because I've learned that we don't really need to be giving people credit checks. Am I right? Not our friends? Have I learned that from Katie? It's hilarious. Hilarious. So, okay, Gina. Augusta, Georgia. You know Augusta? Do you know about Augusta? She's like, no. Is it like the lady version of the month of September? That's August. That's August, honey. But no, it's not. That's where I'm from. And here's... what we're known for in Augusta, Georgia. It's the Masters. It's golf. It's my business partner. My business partner's a huge golfer, and he needs you to know her. You need to know her, meaning Katie. And so I said, okay. So that's how we met. This is fascinating. Have I earned my paycheck? I don't need it. Donate it to the poor one. She here?
That's Gina.
Oh, well, there you go. Consider that an invitation to not come to my Christmas party next year. You failed the credit check. You failed it.
You failed the Augusta check. You also bounced the check. So the wacky story here is that Matt, Gina's ex-husband Matt, worked at a mutual fund company, and that mutual fund company, the president of it was Sutton's ex. But what's funny is that Gina explains this, but she makes it sound like Matt was like working with Sutton's husband, the president of the mutual fund company. And I guarantee there were so many tears between Matt and Sutton's husband. Like, they did not, I don't think that they met through that. I think it's just a coincidence, right? Like, there's no way that, like, Gina went to the holiday party in, like, a Thousand Oaks at the regional office in Thousand Oaks and Sutton's husband was there, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Or like, he ran the hedge fund and Matt was an employee there or something. Like, that's kind of the impression that I got, but I don't know. Because Gina's like, I mean, she did a little bit better in her divorce than Aiden. I was like, yeah, because she had a much better, her husband had a much better position or whatever. So Katie tells us, she's like, the first time that I met Sutton, we had a miscommunication. And she said, I think you're a little dim. And I said, dim? What the fuck are you talking about? And I think she respected me because of that. Just nailed it.
And by the way, for the record, it probably was not a miscommunication. It was her just calling you dim. So anyway, so Sutton's like, listen, so you know, I'm,
you're a little dim, but that's the Latin I look the cutest in. So we're gonna be friends. Okay, you and me.
Name dim. So Sutton's talking about how she lived in Orange County in 2008, and she's like, you know, I love my time here, and I made some great friends who I never talked to. And you're going to make some great friends, you know, and on Orange County level, not on a Beverly Hills level. I'm from a much bigger show. And Katie's like, oh, yeah, that's what Gina said. Gina said, I'm going to meet some great friends and we'll all live together. We'll blend all our families and we'll have a great time.
Yeah, I introduced her to people. I brought her around. Okay, well, when you're done meeting all the people who hand out samples at the Costco, call me and I'll introduce you to people with actual credit. Good to meet you guys. So, you know, here's who I love, Heather. What's your opinion of Heather? And Katie's like, I mean, well, there's some things that have happened. First, when I was at your Christmas party, she knew what I was because her and Gina had a conversation. And then Heather was in front of me. And then she turned around and went like this and gives a look. And so what? I mean, that, have you watched this show? That's what she's going to do. That's what she's going to do, Katie. Welcome to Heather Dubrow. What the fuck do you expect from her?
Kitty goes, she stared at me straight in my face for a good 5 seconds and then turned around and said nothing to me. So then I follow her on social media because she's Gina's friend and she posted a picture for her birthday and I liked it. And I was like, oh, she looks pretty. And then I woke up the next day and she tagged me in her photo. And Sutton's like, well, were you in it? She's like, no, I wasn't. They're like, oh, okay.
What do you think this meant? This was so weird because then they show the photo and it's just a picture of Heather with her crazy beady eyes like, and then in the bottom it says Katie. What was that? That was so weird.
That Heather tagged the wrong Katie. That's I genuinely think that because maybe, I don't know, that's the only way I could understand.
I think so that Gina told her, okay, the new girl is going to be coming, and Heather didn't know that that was who she was meeting at the time. And so she kind of looked at this girl like, what the fuck? Who are you? Are you serving? You know, like, where's your tray or whatever? And then turned back around. And then later Gina was like, oh, you saw Katie, right? That was my friend Katie. And Heather was like, oh my God, that was her. I asked her for a napkin and another little tuna crispy thing. Oh, I'm so embarrassed. And then I asked her why they only make referee things in polyester. And does she want my leftover? Anyway, I'm so embarrassed. I think she just friended me on Instagram. I'm going to tag her in this picture to make her think that I knew who she was the whole time.
I think it was like a save. Tag. Right. Be like, no, I wasn't being cold to you. Look, I like you so much. I'm going to tag you as the candlestick. So
exactly. I'm tagging you as goal weight.
So Katie is saying, like, yeah, you know, meeting Heather was great, even though it was the first time she acknowledged my presence. So she does not like Heather, clearly.
She doesn't. Now, listen, Heather's not my favorite either, but so far this is weak. I think Katie's kind of making too big of a stink over not really anything. I mean, Heather's rude and dismissive, but, you know, I mean, as you get to know Heather, you just start to like that about her. Like, it's starting to feel like kind of a warm hug to me. You know, I'm like, well, that was not, she looked at you. That's something rare. She could have looked above your head like I think she does with everybody else. So that's something, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a major win, in fact. No. So basically, Sutton's like, well, I mean, what did that woman say? I mean, look, if a pig came into my kitchen, I'd make him bacon. You're going to get eight. So don't be that pig walking in that kitchen. You're going to get eight. She's like, well, but it's Heather Dubrow. All right, well, you're going to be cooked and served and not ate and given to the staff at Nobu. But either way, you're going to be dead no matter what.
Listen, you don't have to eat a kebab to skewer it. Don't be the pig. I thought this was actually very good advice. Like, you're coming into somebody else's kitchen. Do not make her cook you, because she will cook you. Yep. Also, I do have hope for Katie, because while I think she's trying hard, and by the way, when I say trying hard, I don't mean like to have charisma or energy or anything else like that, because obviously she's not. But I mean to make a fight with somebody. I respect the trying hard. But I think it's going to get better later this season, because I saw a headline that Heather was getting interviewed and she said something like, oh, Katie, she's the new Noella. She's new Noella 1.5 or something. And I was like, oh, so Katie's really going to come for Heather. Yes. So
yeah,
I mean, I'm temporarily here snapping for Katie.
Katie has a weapon that will serve her well, which is a waspy voice. And that's the thing. Like, she just has like a cold, waspy demeanor. And that's going to be hard for Heather. You know, Heather's used to like hysterical people like a Tamra or a Gina or whatever, but like someone who's just going to like respond to Heather with just like a cold, steely response and say, I don't feel that way.
It's a withering stare. Difficult.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
Difficult for her.
Agreed. So then over at Emily, she's like, I'm giving my kids Chick-fil-A right in this scene where I'm going to lecture everybody about health. Okay.
Yeah.
So she goes, Annabelle, do you want soup? And Annabelle goes, no. She goes, why, Annabelle? And she goes, because it's soup.
Wow.
Love Annabelle.
Really,
yes,
really
Annabelle.
Get the Shane in there. So it's really coming through.
I don't know why it made me laugh so hard. I thought it was so funny. She goes, because it's soup.
And then Shane's like, I'd rather have Chick-fil-A.
Well, Annabelle worked out with me at the gym yesterday, and she ate hard-boiled eggs on the way home.
And Annabelle goes, three to be exact.
So
she's really exciting in this household.
Yeah, Emily, who really hates diet talk, is already like counting her children's hard-boiled eggs on the way home from the gym. Sounds like it's going great over there. So she's like, yo, my kids see me go to the gym every day, so I think them seeing an active lifestyle is a good thing, you know, because like it counterbalances Shane walking around with his big gulps. Like every morning he goes to 7-Eleven, gets a big gulp, and then he puts it on the kitchen counter. Then you'll see it on the bathroom counter. Then you'll see it in front of the TV. Then you'll see it in front of the garden holding a hose. I mean, it's like the sisterhood of the traveling goddamn big gulp cup around there. I can't take it.
I am unfortunately like that. I definitely get a coffee cup. My Starbucks cup travels with me throughout the day. And it's just like, because I drink it very slowly. And it goes, it's literally like a Dolores. It's like, it goes from the office to the living room to the kitchen to the living room to the bedroom to the bathroom.
I truly think that every man understands the lapping cup. The lapping fast food cup. I think we all do it. I think it's just a pattern that we all have, that you'll see it around somewhere, you know?
Yeah, it's everywhere. It's like it really just follows me around.
Yep. She's talking with Shane alone now, and she's talking about how she went to dinner with Shane's stepdaughter, Chanel. And that she's like, yeah, well, Chanel thinks that you're shaming her about eating out too much. And he's like, I didn't lecture her. I was just saying, like, it's better to eat at home. It was very light.
Yeah, but she thought you were being hypocritical because she says, Daddy eats in and out all the time and always has a Diet Coke lapping around the house and doesn't work out. And like, you're saying I'm going to the gym too much and being like too obsessive, and you're over here not doing anything. So maybe we could meet in the middle and try to be healthier together.
Look, I think Emily's pathway to being healthy is terrific, but I think she takes it too far, you know, because then if she doesn't go to the gym every day, then she's disappointed in herself. And I'm like, you've already got me to be disappointed in. I feel like there's someone else in our relationship.
So he's saying that like he doesn't have time to be healthy, and because when Emily's at the gym, he's at home taking care of the kids. So she's like, well, you know, the other day you came home and you had that pain in that chest, remember? And I freaked out. I was like, I'm going to call 911. I was like, are you having a heart attack? And she says that, like, he was doubled over with chest pains. And
this is another man thing, by the way. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Well, it's not you. I don't feel like you're this way, but I definitely am this way, where it's like doubled over, chest pains, bleeding out of my eyes, and my arm has just fallen off onto the ground. It's like, Ronnie, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Okay, hold on. It's going to pass and done. Don't need to go to the doctor. It is all done. Just hand me that big gulp. We'll just keep going, moving along with our day here, Regal.
I currently have a very light headache, and I'm like, is it an aneurysm? Am I actively having an aneurysm on this podcast? Like, I am ready to call that doctor at any moment. I was reading an article last night about how there's apparently a syphilis epidemic that's happening right now.
Oh, God.
And the article said that syphilis can lie dormant in your body for decades. And so, like, my vision is, you know, because I'm getting older, like, I now have readers on, which is what you're seeing here on the camera. And I'm like, wait a second. Did I get a hookup? Did I get a syphilis from a hookup like 15 years ago and it's been dormant? And now all of a sudden I'm going blind because I've got syphilis in me. Like, literally, that's where my brain goes every single time. I cannot control. I'm the anti-Shane. I'm like, I'm controlling myself from calling a doctor, you know, about every little thing.
Well, it starts as a sore that's often painless and typically appears on the genitals, rectum, or mouth. Syphilis spreads from person to person. So do you have sores?
No.
Okay, I do get canker sores. I'm sorry, but it's not syphilis. No, that's not syphilis.
I'm sorry.
Sorry about that.
You are no longer in the running to be America's next syphilis patient.
Sorry to break it to you. Well, I was talking about my vision quickly degrading too, and a listener DM'd me and was like, oh, well, here's an article about how the weight loss medications are causing blindness now. And I was like, awesome. Thanks. Thanks for that. So then I got to marinate on that for a week. So that's been super fun.
I'm also now thinking, like, do I have glaucoma? Even though I literally just got checked like 5 months ago and the ophthalmologist was like, you have the eyes of a 28-year-old, the blood pressure of a 47-year-old, but the eyes of a 28-year-old. Like, thank you so much.
Well, Lisa, you won't be able to see your blood pressure results soon. There's a positive to everything, okay? Everything has a bright side. So Emily's like,
okay, but I worry about your health.
Okay, Emily, I get that you found him doubled over in the office, but you're treading the line now of being one of those people who's lost weight, so now everybody around you has suddenly got a weight problem. You know what I mean? But he was doubled over as
a,
I'm not going to go too hard on that. But listen, no pain, no gain in Chick-fil-A points.
No pain, no shame. So, Gina, let's go over to the advanced casita. So, Gina's house and Travis is packing. And Gina, I think that Gina's actually being kind of annoying here because she's the one who said, you have to move out. And so he's packing. He clearly does not want to do this. He's sad. He's sullen. He's moping. And while this is happening, she keeps saying things like, wow, I can't believe how fast this happened. It's like, I felt like we lost this one. Like, oh my God, like, do you want help folding? She's like trying to like fill the awkwardness, the negative space. And to me, it's just like, if I were Travis, I'd be like, you're kicking me out. And then you're going to be like, oh, I feel bad. It's like, you made this choice. And that's literally what he winds up saying. Now, I'm not saying this is not a judgment about whether or not it was the right move. It's just one of those things where, like, you know, you kicked me out and now you're going to pretend like this is hardest for you.
That's what Gina does. She does something to you and then she acts like the victim, you know? And so that's what she's doing. But then again, Travis, I'm like, just get out already, Travis, Travis, whiner. Like, it's so hard. Like, I can't even feel bad for Travis because he's packing and he's like moping, you know, he's like Eeyore packing a bag. And she's like, Travis, like, how are you feeling about things? And he goes, I feel overwhelmed. Like there's just so much to figure out. Like, I gotta get internet. Oh my God, you have to call Spectrum? You poor fucking thing. It's gonna be so hard. It's gonna be so hard for you.
You should have done that before you moved out. So then he's like,
no, I can't say that. You saw what just happened to me moving into this place. Like, oh God, I called Spectrum 5 minutes ago, man, and they haven't showed up yet.
No. Well, Gina's like, I mean, how do you see this going? Like, we have to be together sometimes. He goes, well, I think it goes from us being like one single family unit to more of like adult dating. She's like, yeah, but what if this was like a mistake, you know? Like, what if this was a mistake? Which is like not what he wants to hear right now. He goes, well, people make mistakes. Look at my last 4 years with you. You know, and they figure it out. And if it ends up being a mistake, then it ends up being whatever it is. I'm late for my Spectrum phone call. I really need to set this up.
So she goes on with her, like, oh my God, but we're going to like be together, but we're not going to be living together. And like, it made me feel so bad. I feel so bad. And he's like crying. He's like, oh God, I got to call a 1-800 number by myself. She's like, yeah. Well, you know, it's like I got to get space from Travis's penis because his ex makes things so difficult for him. And like, then it, like, he feels responsible. And I got to choose myself and my three kids in Disneyland. So that's what we're doing. And he's like, listen, it seems like you're thinking about like how to undo the decision that you're made. And that's like really confusing to me. Like 1-800 Spectrum, that's not even the amount of numbers that are in the phone number. S-P-E-C-T-R-U. What's the M4? Shouldn't it be 1-800 Spectru? I just don't get it.
I think the M is for mistake. Are we making one? Because, you know, I do love my life and I do love my family, but there's something here that's just like not functioning right.
It's the internet.
Oh, yeah.
No, actually, here it's fine. It's at your new place that it's being. So don't worry. Here's looking on the bright side. I have internet. Okay. So, you know, we got to do this because the kids need more space. And he's like, stop saying it's about the children. Cause like, honestly, like you made this decision. Okay. And I thought the kids would be preferred to be in this space and separate. So, I mean, they're sad. They're sad. Well, I'm almost packed, I guess. Here I go. Here I go.
It's like, okay, tie up that bindle. I don't want you to lose any t-shirts.
Before I leave, I just want to say one thing to you. It's the sound of my dial-up modem that I'll be hearing now that you kicked me out. I hope you can live with that.
So she's like, oh my God, like it's like so hard because like you have so much guilt and like I don't know if this is a mistake. And it might be, but like I don't know. If I don't try it, it's just gonna end heartbroken, you know? And I don't want to go through that again.
He's like, all right, well. One last goodbye. Here I go. Big hugs.
Oh my God. You have to kick me on the lips, even though I have a lip gloss. He's like, ugh, gross. Okay. And then he like gives a hug to the dog and just like a goodbye. And Gina and the dog are waving goodbye. And Travis goes off to his new life in Tustin.
He goes off to
wherever he's gonna wind up.
The Motel 6 down the road.
Franchise.
Yeah, and that's the end. But it's not really. I think they're still together, from what I can tell on social.
Yeah, they're still together. They're still together, but it just it's more like I just feel bad for those kids. That must just be so confusing for the children.
Well,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
It's probably also confusing for the kids to live in a household where their mom is making meatballs with ragu. Okay, I said it. I said it. I let it out.
Well, everybody, thank you so much for being here. Fun episode day. We'll see you guys next week. In the meantime, if you want this on Vidya, go look at it on Patreon, okay? All our Love Island recaps are there. It's been fun, guys. We love you. We'll talk to you next time, okay? Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Bye. Call me. Call me.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sipped Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. We Wanna Hang with Liz Lang. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie, my favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender, the incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.